here at Grace Community Church, we are reading and praying and discussing and preaching from the book of Malachi. And what we're really doing is letting Malachi read us. And we're letting Malachi lead us in what we're calling the road to renewal. We began this last week. It's a great way for us to prepare ourselves for what's coming. That is Christmas, the celebration of our Lord and Savior and his birth. Malachi is 400 years before the birth of Jesus that we pick up in the book of Matthew. So we're letting Malachi prepare our hearts. Malachi is also showing us the great need for our lives and for our congregation and for congregations in our city, in our nation, in the world, and that is spiritual renewal. Again, just a quick little context here before we jump in. I won't cover all of last week's sermon. You can hear that. But Malachi is a post-exilic prophet, which means he prophesied after the Lord had disciplined his people through an exile and for their sin. And he brought them back to their city, the Jerusalem now. They've rebuilt the city and the walls and the temple. The priests are operating. The sacrifices are being made. And in a sense, we could say that they're back in terms of the forms of religion are in place, the functions are being carried out, but there's still a problem in the book of Malachi. The people's hearts are cold, and their actions toward God and each other show very little love, and God has to come to them through the prophet and rebuke them again. Now, of course, there are always some who love the Lord. We find them in Malachi, in chapter 3, which we'll come to in a few weeks, but we find them as the faithful ones who are hearing the word of the Lord and responding in faith. So there's always that faithful group that are still following God. But for the most part, at this time, God's covenant people are violating the covenant. They're not loving the Lord with their whole heart. They're not loving their neighbor as themselves. So Malachi, meaning the messenger, that's what his name means, is bringing to them the oracle, which is the heavy word, the word of rebuke. And again, the question would be, why do I want to come to church every Sunday to be rebuked? Well, remember this. This is the hope. Remember that with the Lord and his people, the rebukes are always designed to lead down the road of renewal. God is always calling his people back, even with the hard words. So we receive them as such. Today, the hard word is that the people have dishonored the Lord's name. The priests have dishonored the Lord's name. And they have done so by polluting the sacrifices or polluting the whole worship system of God. And the call to renewal is come back to the honor of God's name and to genuine worship. If you'll stand with me in honor of God's word, we'll read Malachi 1, beginning in verse 6. A son honors his father and a servant his master. If then I am a father, where is my honor? If I am a master, where is my fear? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priests who despise my name. But you say, how have we despised your name? By offering polluted food upon my altar. But you say, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. When you offer blind animals in sacrifice, is that not evil? And when you offer those that are lame or sick, is that not evil? Present that to your governor. Will he accept you and show you favor? Says the Lord of hosts. And now entreat the favor of God that he may be gracious to us. With such a gift from your hand, will he show you favor to any of you? Says the Lord of hosts. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the doors, that you might not kindle fire on my altar in vain. I have no pleasure in you, says the Lord of hosts. I will not accept your offering from your hand. For from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations. And in every place, incense will be offered to my name and a pure offering. For my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. But you profane it when you say that the Lord's table is polluted and its fruit, that is, its food, may be despised. But you say, what a weariness this is. And you snort at it, says the Lord of hosts. You bring what has been taken by violence or is lame or is sick and this you bring as your offering. Shall I accept that from your hand, says the Lord of hosts? Cursed be the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it, yet sacrifices to the Lord what is blemished. For I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. This is God's word for us today. You may be seated. As a son honors a father, a servant honors a master. If I'm a father, where's my honor? If I'm a master, where's my fear? God is our Father. And God, who is our Father, has called us his children. And God has brought us into a right relationship with himself. God is our master. God, as our master, has brought us into his home to care for us. This takes us back to the opening words of the book of Malachi from the mouth of the Lord, verse 2, where the Lord said, I have loved you. I have set my love on you. And we talked about last week how the love of God for his people is a covenant love. God sets his love on his covenant people by choosing them. And that makes God's love secure and sure. And when we know that God has chosen us by grace alone, it assures us that his love and his promises are true and will endure forever. God loves us with an enduring love. And God's covenant also comes with responsibilities, callings, and commands. And his love awakens us to these responsibilities. When we know that God loves us with an everlasting covenant love, it actually awakens our heart to the responsibilities of his covenant that he has placed upon us. Namely, the responsibility to love the Lord with our whole hearts. If God in covenant love has become a father and a master to us, then we are called to honor his name. We're called to fear the Lord. The fear of the Lord, meaning the respect, love, submission, spread of his name. This is what God is calling out for in the book of Malachi. Now, at this time in the life of God's people, verse 6 tells us that they have a problem. The Lord says, where is my honor? Where is my fear? Where, he asks, among the nation of the redeemed, among the people of God, the covenant people, where is that deep sense in you, among you, that the Lord is holy? Where is that sense among you? Where is the evidence that you understand that the Lord is all of everything good and perfect? Where, the Lord says, he's looking. Where is that respect and reverence and love and appreciation and gratitude and praise and trust and hope in the Lord? Because the Lord is God and the Lord is gracious and the Lord is good and he has redeemed a people for himself. The Lord says, I can't find it. I'm looking among my people and I can't find honor. I can't find fear, reverence, awe, love. He says, why have you despised my name, O priests? The name of the Lord, it's a term that's used to designate everything about God. It's to say the name of the Lord is to speak of God's personhood, God's character, all of God's attributes, what he does, his actions, his will. To speak of the name of the Lord is to speak of the reputation of the Lord. That's why we don't take the name of the Lord in vain. Because to speak his name in vain is to speak vain of him. And the Lord says, why have you despised my name, O priests? The priests are despising the name of the Lord. Now, at this time, the priests are functioning in the temple. They're doing their job. They're back. But they're doing it in a way that is showing contempt and dishonor for God's name. And so they say back to God, or the Lord anticipates what they're going to say back. And the Lord says, this is what you're thinking. I know what you're thinking. How have we despised your name? And so the Lord answers their question. You remember we said last week that in Malachi, all the questions get answered. How have we despised your name? Verse 7, read it with me again. Because you're offering polluted food on my altar. And then you say, well, how have we polluted you? By saying that the Lord's table may be despised. Well, how are we doing that? Because you're offering blind animals and sacrifices. Those that are sick and lame. You're not bringing to me what I have prescribed that you bring to me. You're not bringing me the best that I told you to bring. Here's what this is all about. In the law that God gave to Moses, so that Moses would give it to his chosen covenant people who are now out of slavery in Egypt and they're in the wilderness, the Lord has made a covenant with them, and the Lord said, a part of this covenant responsibility is you're to make sacrifices to me, and this was the Lord's instructions, you're to make sacrifices of unblemished, unharmed, perfect animals, bulls, and goats. The book of Leviticus is all about this. Why? Why an unblemished animal? You see, without understanding God and his grace, you'd say, why so picky? Why so demanding of God? Well, the answer, why does the Lord want unblemished and unharmed and untarnished and perfect animals to be sacrificed to him? To acknowledge the Lord's perfection. To acknowledge that the Lord is worthy of such a perfect sacrifice. And also to acknowledge that the people actually honor the Lord by bringing to the Lord the best offering that they can bring to him, and they are obeying his word, so they're giving honor to his name. And now we know, because we see more clearly, we actually see more clearly than the people of the Old Testament did. We see that God has a plan of salvation that progressed to the point of Jesus Christ. To the point of Jesus Christ, who would be, who is that perfect, unblemished, final, sufficient sacrifice to bear the penalty for our sin, that by doing so, we could be forgiven of our sin and reconciled to God, and thereby Jesus brings glory to God for his great grace. That's why the Lord wanted a perfect and unblemished sacrifice, because he wanted the sacrifice to point to the coming of his perfect and unblemished Son, who would be our Savior. And it was the responsibility of the priests to guard against any corrupt or unauthorized sacrifice and to make sure that the sacrifices communicated clearly everything God wanted it to communicate about his holiness and about his grace. It was the priest's responsibility to ensure honor for the Lord's name, and in doing so, genuine worship. And they failed to do so. They dishonored and they despised the altar, the table of the Lord, and they despised the name of the Lord. And so the Lord responds. In verse 8, he says, why don't you try that with your human governor? Who would throw a big feast. You know, the Persian overseers would throw big feasts and have people come and gather around and eat at these massive meals. Why don't you bring some of that tarnished, blemished sacrifice to your governor and see what he'll do? Will he show you favor? Verse 9, you're violating the covenant command. So why do you think that you can continue to claim the covenant blessing? Verse 10, the Lord goes so far as to say, it would be better if somebody would close up the temple doors. If somebody would just stop the show, stop the worship service. It'd be much better than that, for that, than to continue going through these motions that dishonor me, these motions that show contempt for me and my name, that going through motions that don't come from a heart of love and honor. Now, verse 11, we're going to come back to, the name of the Lord will be great among the nations. because it's so key, it's so vital to everything the Lord is saying right here. We'll come back to it. But we continue on with the Lord's rebuke to these people in verse 13. He says, you say, the Lord speaking to the priests and then to the people, you say, what a weariness this is. And you snort at it. You bring stolen and lame and sick offerings to sacrifice at my altar. And you say, what a weariness this is. Now, what does that mean? Well, you can say, well, it just means it's too hard. They couldn't get to the temple. They didn't have transportation. They couldn't find the right sacrifice. They looked all over the place. They couldn't find an unblemished sacrifice. It's just too hard. I mean, God's demanding too much. That's probably not what's going on here. More like when they say, when they look at the temple of God and they look at the worship of God and they look at the gathering of the people and they look at the call of God and the command of God to show his glory and his grace through these sacrifices and they say, this is a weariness to us. They probably mean something like, it's a bore. It has no meaning to us. We just don't see the need to keep coming back and doing these sacrifices over and over. We can get along without this. We're wearied by this. This is the attitude of the priest and the people. And it says you're turning your nose up at the prescribed worship of God. You're carrying out your duty, but you're doing it without love. You worship God in function, but you don't honor me with your heart. So the polluted, blemished, stolen, ready to be discarded, past expiration date, offerings and sacrifices were the result of people being bored with God. And bored with God's grace. And so they're holding God's name with contempt. What would cause, we read this and we're stunned. What would cause the loved ones? How does the Lord start? What's the first words out of his mouth in Malachi? I have loved you, says the Lord. What would cause loved ones? People of the covenant, redeemed from the hand of slavery, the land of slavery. Who would cause these people to grow bored and weary with the worship of Almighty God? What would cause us as Christians today, as congregations, to be bored? How we pray for a renewed worship. And let me say, this is not in my notes, so I'm pausing here to see if I should formulate another thought. Let me say that the renewed worship would be the renewal of our hearts. Because it would be very tempting to say, do something at the worship service that keeps me from getting bored. What would cause the Christian in a congregation to be like these Old Testament saints and to grow bored with God? How we pray for renewed worship that is rooted in a new honor for the Lord's name that comes from a re-engaged heart, engaged with grace, engaged with glory, engaged with the Lord. But before we consider our side of things in this passage, let's finish the text and let's consider what God's aims are in our worship. What does God want in our worship? Have you ever asked that question? Have we ever asked, what does God want in our worship? What does he desire? And this is what he says, verse 6. Back to the beginning. God desires to keep his name holy among his people. God desires that his name be honored, feared, revered, loved, embraced, because God is God, and because God is our Father, and because God is our Master. This is what God wants. He wants his name to be honored. And God really does want to bless his people. God wants to bless his people through covenant-keeping worship. That's what he says in verse 9. He says, I can't continue to show you these blessings when you treat me with such contempt. Meaning, I don't want you to treat me with this contempt. I want to pour out my blessings on you, the blessings of the Spirit and of the covenant and of the promise. I want to bless you. The Lord says, I don't want to curse you. In verse 14, he says, cursed is the cheat who has a male in his flock and vows it but won't give it. He's holding it back. He's lying. He's cheating. He says, I don't want to curse you. I want to bless you. The Lord wants to bless his people as his people experience him through the honor and the worship of his name. And what else does the Lord want? He wants his name to be honored. He wants to bless his people. But verse 11, I told you we'd come back to this one. Verse 11 and verse 14, he says, verse 11, for from the rising of the sun to its setting, my name will be great among the nations, and in every place incense will be offered to my name, and a pure offering for my name will be great among the nations, says the Lord of hosts. Verse 14, I am a great king, says the Lord of hosts, and my name will be feared among the nations. What does God want? God wants to make his name known throughout the whole world. This is interesting. It's true for Israel. It's true for us. Israel's worship is connected to God's name being great and feared and worshiped among the nations. The way they worshiped God and honored his name and kept his word is directly connected to the way God's name is known and feared beyond Israel to the nations. You see, the worship of God among the nations is envisioned in God's plan from the beginning and all the way to the end. Beginning even before Abraham, but certainly in Abraham, when God made the covenant with Abraham and said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to give you a son and a great family. You're going to be a great nation, and that nation, through that nation, the nations will be blessed. And what the Lord meant is, I'm going to give you a son named Isaac, and there's going to be a nation named Israel, and from that nation Israel is going to come a greater son whose name is Jesus, and Jesus is going to be the blessing of the nations. This is in God's mind the whole time. All the way to the end, we see the great scene around the throne in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, where the apostle John says, I looked and I saw a great multitude that no one could number. You can't count the number of people around the throne of God. And where are they from? Every nation. And all tribes and people and languages, and they're standing before the throne and before the Lamb, and they're clothed in white robes, which means they've been cleansed and forgiven of their sins. They've got palm branches waving in praise to God in their hands, and they're crying with a loud voice, salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb. You see, the Lord wanted Israel's hearts, and the Lord wanted Israel's worship to honor his name, because the Lord intends for his name to be great among the nations through them as they worship him and honor his name. The redeemed people of God are a worshiping witness to the King of the nations, that they may come into his people themselves and worship him. So, it's for the sake of his name, it's to bless his people, and it is to spread his fame to the nations that the Lord, through Malachi, rebukes his priests, his people, and calls them back to honor his name in genuine worship from the heart. So, what is true for the returned exiles living in covenant in Malachi's day, 400 years before Jesus, is certainly true for us today who are following Jesus as the church of Jesus Christ living in the new covenant. Malachi predicts a messenger. In chapter 3, Malachi predicts a messenger of the covenant. Malachi said, I'm going to send a messenger. He's going to go before the messenger of the covenant. This messenger of the new covenant is the messenger Jesus Christ. A.W. Tozer said, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, died on the cross, rose from the grave to make worshipers out of rebels. And we are those rebels. We don't start out as worshipers, cleaned up worshipers, and then become cleaned up worshipers. We start out as rebels running the other direction. We are running in the opposite direction from God. It is God who comes to us in our rebellion and by his mercy redeems us that we might know the joy of being his worshipers. And he does it through Jesus Christ, who is the new covenant. Jesus Christ came to establish a new covenant. Jesus said himself on the night he was having the first Lord's Supper with his disciples, he said, this is the new covenant in my blood, meaning that through the blood of Jesus Christ, he has forgiven us of our sins. He has reconciled us to God, and he has brought us into his covenant family. Jesus has redeemed us, both Jews and Gentiles, by his blood. That's the whole message of the book of Ephesians. The message of the book of Ephesians is not just that God has made a covenant with his nation here in Israel through which he would get the son Jesus Christ, but once Jesus Christ comes, the message is that God opens up the new covenant so that now Jew and Gentile alike are one new man in Christ, redeemed by him. We are loved in Christ. He's the new covenant. Nothing, Romans says, will separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus in the new covenant, by redeeming us and forgiving us of our sins and bringing us into one new man, Jew and Gentile alike, of all the nations, has made us all priests. All of us are priests. Peter tells us that we are a holy priesthood offering spiritual sacrifices which are acceptable to God, and we do it through Jesus Christ. We do it because Christ has forgiven us of our sins, cleansed us, reconciled us. Through the praise of his name, we are offering up spiritual sacrifices to him. Jesus, the messenger of the new covenant, now has the name that is above all names, so that every knee would bow and tongue could confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. It's Jesus' name that we honor. Jesus calls us to worship in spirit and in truth. He said this to the Samaritan woman. There's going to be a day when people worship God in spirit. The new covenant blessing is that by faith in Jesus Christ and the cleansing of our sins, the Holy Spirit of God actually comes to live within us, freeing our spirits that we would be able to worship God in the power of the Holy Spirit. And in truth, the new covenant blessing is that God would come and actually write his holy, just, and righteous, and gracious commandments on the hearts of his people so that from the Spirit and the Word written in our hearts, we would bless and praise his name and honor him. Jesus is the perfect and unblemished sacrifice offered for our sin. Jesus then is calling us to offer ourselves, our whole being to him as living sacrifices. We do not offer ourselves to God the way Jesus did. Jesus offered himself to God to atone for our sins. Our sins are atoned for. Our sins are paid for. Our sins are forgiven. We are free. We are free. And now, as the free people of God, we come right back to him with our whole selves, offering ourselves as living sacrifices to worship him and to serve him with our whole being. It is in the honor of God's name and by true worship that we, the church, bring glory to him among the nations. Paul said in Ephesians, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. You see? Do you see that God now has called us as his people, the new covenant people, Jew and Gentile alike from every nation, to honor his name for the sake of the nations? Because that we are moving toward that revelation reality where a multitude that you and I cannot ever count, where a massive number of people from every nation are going to be gathered around that throne and be worshiping the Lamb. And that Lamb has a name, and his name is Jesus. Let this grace, let this glory Let it, God, help it now to enter into our hearts and minds so that we are no longer bored with God Almighty and the grace of His Son, Jesus Christ. Friend, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He will save you. He will bring you in. You will be of the covenant family, the covenant people. His blessing will be set upon you. His Spirit will reside in you. He will write His word on your heart. You will be His child. You'll be able to honor Him and praise His name, which is the highest calling of all eternity. It's the purpose of all of existence. Come to faith in Jesus, Christian and church. Return to Him. Return to the Lord. We're not offering animals. We're offering ourselves, our whole selves, our weak selves, yet our best selves. We're weak, but this is all we have, so we take it all and give it to Him to honor and glorify His name. We do not passively wait for God to do something big in our lives before we pursue renewal in worship. God has already done something big, monumental, eternal. He has already set His grace on us. He's already brought us in. And so, as the people of the covenant saved by grace, we return. We say, heart, engage in His glory. Heart, engage in His grace. Body, be offered up as a living sacrifice. And then as we do, we pray all the way through, Father, renew us in our worship because we need Him. Let us not neglect the assembling of ourselves together, nor the honorable praise which is due our Father, our Master, our King. Now, Lord, we pray that You would incline our hearts to You.